Coming to you live from the city that spawned the band Tesla, it's the Nate Darling Show with Becca Costello, Ted Sampson, and Christiana D. Now, with a headbanging song in his heart, here's Nate.
Hey, everybody.
What's up?
Welcome to another Nate Darling Show
Yay.
Podcast. On-demand radio show, whatever you want to call it.
The show is so hot today that Nate's lips are burned.
Yeah, I do have burned lips. I'm not even going to explain that. My lips slightly burn, but they're okay. Christiana is sick this week, so feel better. Feel better, Christiana.
Yeah, we miss you.
Mm-hmm. Coming up on the show this week, rats in your toilet.
Oh, not my toilet, I hope.
We'll see. How far one person went to get back their lost ring, and the cover of Vogue, suddenly a problem for some people. We'll talk about all of that coming up. So, Ted and Becca, how are you doing?
Oh, collectively?
Sure.
We're good, right?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't have time to prepare an answer beforehand, but I'll go with that.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we are good. We saw the Muppet movie on Friday. It was heck of fun.
Oh, it was so fun. We went at like 11:30 in the morning, and we were probably the youngest people in there because it was like the retiree crowd.
Oh, okay. And, no like parents with little kids.
No, because it was Friday, so I think they were all in school. And
suckers and at work.
We sat in the front row and we laughed, and it was awesome. And we've been listening to the Muppet soundtrack this weekend.
It's on Spotify, everyone.
The movie was fantastic. If you like the Muppets, it's probably one of the best Muppet movies.
Top three, definitely.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
So how was Tina Fey in it?
She's really good. You know, I mean, everything in the Muppet movies is really campy, you know,
yes.
So her character is very campy, but it was very funny. She was excellent in it. And who is it? I think it's Ty Burrell who plays the French, like, Interpol policeman, and he was so good. So good. He and Sam the Eagle playing opposite each other.
At any point, did you want to punch Ricky Gervais?
No, and sometimes I do, but not in this case. He was subdued, you know?
Relative, I guess. He just seemed subdued because it was the Muppets, right?
Yeah, because everything was just so ridiculous.
Over the top.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah, no, he was good. I was never even for a minute annoyed by him.
He must not have. He probably did not do that high pitched Ricky Gervais ridiculous yell laugh that he does.
No. Nope.
Okay.
Yeah.
He played it cool pretty much, I think.
He did. It was very good. I mean, essentially, his character was playing second fiddle to a frog, so he had to have a certain amount of humility.
Well, not just any frog. I assume Kermit the Frog.
No. Well, there's two frogs in this movie.
Oh, spoiler alert.
Yes.
You said too much.
I've said too much.
Or not enough. No, it's, yeah, evil frog.
Excellent.
That was fun.
I did not go to the theater for the Muppets. I rented Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah, how was that?
This weekend.
I hear it was Oscar worthy.
It's a very good movie. I think it got the Oscar nomination for Best Picture partially because of the subject matter, as opposed to how, you know, I didn't feel like it was a big, epic, sweeping, moving sort of film. Matthew McConaughey and Jared Leto both lose so much weight. It's like Stephen King did the thinner thing on them. And they just sort of disappeared and disappeared and disappeared. They were both very, very good in the movie. But again, I think a lot of that went to how much weight they lost. It was a very drastic physical transformation that they underwent.
There's a commercial that they're playing now that shows a little clip from the movie and shows Matthew McConaughey and what I assume to be one of his thinner points in the film. And I was really surprised. I haven't seen the film yet, but you're right. It's dramatic. Like, you almost don't recognize him. His voice becomes like the identifying characteristic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good movie. I think it's very much worth a rental. It's at Redbox now. So it's, you know, if you can find it on Blu-ray, it's $1.50. If not, it's $1.20 for the regular DVD. Really good movie. Sort of a thumbnail in time, taking you back to the mid-80s when AIDS was almost an immediate death sentence. And there's a lot of the movie that is made up. It's based on a true story. If you want to see it, see the movie first and then go to Wikipedia and look at differences between real life and the actual story in the film. There are a lot of very big differences in the character and how he was portrayed in the film as opposed to the actual person in real life. But definitely worth a rental. I thought it was a good film.
Cool.
Also rented Thor.
Thor.
Because I heard Dallas Buyers Club is one of those movies that you watch and then you're sort of down. So I wanted something to watch immediately after to sort of bring it back up a little bit. And I wasn't as down after Dallas Buyers Club as I thought I would be. The one really great movie that I watched, and this was a while ago, that and there have been a few. Where you see a really great movie, but it's just so emotionally exhausting that you don't ever need to see it again.
Yeah, I've got some of those.
For me, the ultimate one of those movies is Million Dollar Baby.
Oh, yeah. I don't need to see that twice.
No. What are some of yours?
Okay, well, I don't know if this one, it's definitely emotionally exhausting, but it's also, it was just really gross. In my mind, Requiem for a Dream. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty disturbing.
It's so hard to watch, and it's extremely disturbing. It's about drug addiction, and I don't think I could watch that one again. It was like I just felt shook up for days afterwards.
Yeah. Ted, did you have any that...
Nothing springs to mind, but Requiem for a Dream, yeah, that's a really... makes you feel so
really hard.
Gross at the end, so dirty and disturbing film. Go see it, everyone.
Yeah, Million Dollar Baby, and I think Trainspotting would be the other one that was really tough to watch.
Yeah, I do not enjoy Trainspotting at all. And Trainspotting came out for me, well, probably the same for all of us, college years, and... I don't know. I had some friends who just thought it was the coolest, and it just sort of kept popping up all the time. Like, let's watch Trainspotting. Trainspotting and Kids were like the two movies that people wanted to kind of watch, like horror watch over and over. And not my favorite.
Actually, the movie that comes to mind, did either of you see the movie Happy? Is that the really, really sad movie? Does that sound familiar to either one of you?
No.
No? Okay. And never mind. I'm going to just strike that from the record. Thank you.
Oh, you know what else is so hard to watch? Like, pretty much any Lars von Trier movie where a woman gets just, like, raped or brutally attacked or whatever. He's made several of them. Those are other ones that are just so, so hard.
I'm not familiar with his work, but it sounds like every Lifetime movie.
Yeah, I mean, with, like, a European edge. And it's always just sort of, like, the woman is this tragic heroine and you're totally on her side and everything goes wrong for her, but after he makes like several movies like that, you're kind of like, does this guy even like women? Like, it seems right. Like they're feminists, but no.
So in the news this past week, Fred Phelps, the leader of the Westboro Baptist Church, you know, the God Hates Fags guy,
right?
He died.
Right.
He made it to 84. He died at a hospice in Topeka, Kansas, shortly after his estranged son announced that his father was, quote, on the edge of death. The family offered no explanation, but there will be no funeral.
Oh.
Which is interesting because the Westboro Baptist Church famously went around picketing funerals of pretty much anybody.
Everybody at this point.
From soldiers to little kids to whatever, you know, sort of... in their weird world, tying it into a punishment for accepting the homosexual lifestyle. So I find it kind of ironic that they're not having a funeral.
I don't know if you saw that after his death, some of the Westboro Baptist Church people were staging a protest at a concert, and other people, not church people, across the street unrolled a sign that just said "Sorry for your loss" and held it up, which I thought was kind of classy.
Well, the Westboro Baptist Church is pretty much Fred Phelps's family and extended family. There aren't a lot of people who aren't family members that are members of that church.
Yeah.
So it's kind of an interesting thing. A few years ago, and I saw some things on Facebook about this recently because one of my friends who was living in Plattsburgh, New York at the time had the wristband, and I saw a couple different people posting these things up. And basically it was sort of a no hate campaign because the Westboro Baptist Church was coming to protest the Mayor's Cup sailboat race in Plattsburgh, New York, which is the big event of the summertime, because at the time, Plattsburgh, New York had elected an openly gay mayor. Mm. And basically, you know, they go to places expecting, you know, their whole thing is they want to provoke. They want to provoke, and they want to have this big confrontation. And all that happened is people stood there quietly and didn't respond to them, and just had like signs that said no hate. There was no yelling back and forth. And after 2 days, they announced that that they were bored and they were leaving. Mm. So they left town. They went all the way to upstate New York to protest the gay mayor, and they got no response from the people other than we have no room for hate here. And they turned around and they left. So
good job, Plattsburgh.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting time to be there and sort of see that whole thing, because I think it was the first time any group had, rather than stand up and yell back at them, because that's the first impulse, just sort of said, you know what, we're not going to engage in any sort of hateful activity back and forth. I don't know about you guys. I saw a lot of people posting about, yay, I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah,
sort of thing.
I did see some of that, and it's unfortunate. There's no need to match their energy. And I've been thinking, actually, being in seminary and active in my church and stuff, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that, you know, when founding members of a church die or retire or whatever, that's a real shakeup for any religious community. And often a lot of people fall away or split away so I'm curious to see what's going to happen to the West Baptist Church.
Well,
Westboro.
Yeah, he's sort of been not doing much for the past several years.
Yeah.
And it's really been his daughter, Shirley Phelps something or other. I forget what her married name is, but it's Shirley Phelps. It's hyphenated. Anyway, he they'll go on because they're a family and not necessarily really a church. So I don't care for the guy at all. I have no use for him, but I did not. There have been very few times when I've been happy someone was killed. I mean, there have been a few. Honestly. The last one that I really remember was Osama bin Laden. I was gleeful with news that he had been taken off this mortal coil. This guy does not rise to that for me. Speaking of people who should be taken off the mortal coil, or at least off of the consciousness, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West made the cover of Vogue. Spring chic. That's true. But Sarah Michelle Gellar and or Gellar, I forget how it's pronounced, Ted.
I think just Gellar.
I don't know. She's one of yours, Ted.
Gellar. Oh, Gellerstein.
Yeah.
Gellerwitz.
Not happy with the whole thing.
Gellar Bloom.
Not at all happy. She tweeted, "Well, I guess I'm canceling my Vogue subscription. Who is with me?"
Yeah.
Wow, that's really unnecessarily bitchy, I think.
But it's Kimye on the cover of Vogue. I don't think you understand.
Yeah, but that makes sense because Kanye and Anna Wintour know each other and he's been designing fashion and all that. I mean, I don't think there's any way in the universe that she would get on the cover if she wasn't married to Kanye. But I think the two of them together, I don't know. I wasn't surprised.
Oh, I'm not surprised either that they got on the cover of Vogue, but she was not the only one. Here are some other tweets. "Dear at Vogue magazine, just called and canceled my subscription. Some places are sacred, like the cover of Vogue." How could you?
How sacred is the cover of Vogue?
It's very sacred.
Oh, excuse me.
For Bridget Suzette. Posh, comma, baby, or at Gloria Cases tweeted, "The day Vogue died." Gloria Fallon said, "I think it's time Vogue went back to putting models on the cover." Somebody whose Twitter handle is Crazy Diamond with 4 D's at the end. "I hate Vogue now. Boycott it."
Okay.
Well, it's good to see citizens really, acting for an important cause.
Chad Hensley tweeted, "I will never buy another issue of Vogue. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord."
Oh, Chad, how many issues were you buying in the first place?
I'm sorry, that was funny. And Amanda Stallcup, I don't know if she's anybody or not, said, "Anna, let's go back to calling it Kim, the worst thing since socks and sandals, and keep her out of Vogue. Sincerely, everyone with an ounce of class."
Wait, what's wrong with socks and sandals?
No, they don't belong on the cover of Vogue.
Oh, fine. I guess I don't belong on the cover of Vogue then.
Thomas tweeted, "This is the worst thing ever. Ooh, gross. # no thanks. You know better."
The worst thing ever. I think that puts it in perspective. It is the worst thing ever.
It is the worst thing ever.
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 Remember World War II? This is worse.
So bad.
Titanic, this is worse.
Worse than, the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, this is worse.
Worse.
all very much worse. Also on the cover, selfie made Kate Upton and the rise of a social media supermodel. It's the Shape Up issue too, with Mindy Kaling and Emily Blunt.
Oh, I like Mindy Kaling.
I like Emily Blunt. I was very, very sad that she, well, sad's not the right word, but, you know, she married John Krasinski, and so she was off the market. Oh, they've got pictures of them. And, a shirtless Kanye with a naked baby on his chest.
Aw.
Yeah, naked. No, I don't want, no, I'm going to click off that. Anyway.
There is something, though, right when you said that, shirtless Kanye with a naked baby on his chest, there is something about that that smacks more of tabloid than fashion, which, I thought Vogue.
Because of lack of clothes?
Yeah, I expected them to be wearing. And what does their baby have to do with fashion? You know, right. I would
nothing, because the baby was nude.
Right. And so that seems more like we got the exclusive than it does like.
Yeah, that was
clothing.
Yeah, you're right. That was more of a that shot seemed to be more like something you'd see in People or Us Weekly. But either way, I also not buying Vogue anymore.
Yay.
I wasn't buying it to begin with, but still not buying Vogue. Now, last week on the show, we had the honeymooners who one of them was so drunk he was detained.
That's right.
On the trip. Well, we have more honeymoon mishaps, but for a different couple on their way to their honeymoon. And this one is from New Hampshire.
A Nashua couple's honeymoon got off to a really rough start after he lost his ring on an airplane. You'll never believe where it went, but even more unbelievable was the flight crew's efforts to help him get it back.
It was a honeymoon this Nashua couple won't soon forget. On their first big getaway, his wedding ring got away on their flight to Aruba.
You know, Shelley, I just didn't get used to wearing rings, and I felt like it was a little tight. So I went into the restroom on the airplane, and I started messing with it. And I was able to get it off successfully, but what I didn't count on was it slipping out of my hands and going into the toilet.
Even worse than losing his...
I actually believe it. It wasn't as shocking as they made it out to be. It's unfortunate, though.
Yeah, this is another reason why you put the lid down on the toilet.
I thought it was just so your lady doesn't yell at you.
I totally... I have such a dirty mind because I honestly thought that something else happened to the wedding ring that did not happen. I thought something involving the Mile High Club.
Oh, no, no,
and
no,
the
no.
crew had to help get it out.
Ooh. But listen to what the crew did to help out.
Ring was telling his wife.
I said, you know, that's the ring that we got married with. That's the ring that the priest blessed during the mass of our wedding. So I was very upset.
So they went to JetBlue's flight crew for help.
They immediately, you know, considered the bathroom a crime scene and sealed it off, much to the dismay of everyone else on the flight. But they attempted, each of them, on several occasions to retrieve the ring from the bathroom area.
Now, how did they do that? Did they put gloves on their hands and stick their hands in the toilet?
They absolutely did.
The co-pilot even checked a diagram of the bathroom to check on ways to retrieve the ring.
The efforts that JetBlue made were extraordinary.
The ring never showed up, but the couple replaced it as soon as they got back from their honeymoon. Grateful to the crew of JetBlue for their efforts.
It was more than what I would have done if I was in their situation.
And Steven promising to never lose his ring again.
Yeah, this one's never coming off.
So, yeah, kudos to JetBlue and the flight crew for going above and beyond. But
it's nice of
them.
Call
of duty.
But I feel like if I had done that, if I had dropped my ring, I wouldn't be like, hey, stewardesses, take turns not doing your job and putting your hands on the toilet. I'd be like, can I please have some gloves? And I would be the one with my hands on the toilet.
Yeah, and I don't know what he did other than tell them, oh, my God, I dropped my ring in the toilet.
Yeah.
Because I'm the world's dumbest man.
And apparently flushed. Aww. I don't know.
Well, the flap, the flap in an airline toilet will move a little bit. It's not like a solid seal.
That's true.
So it will move a little bit. So it just has to open up enough to let a wedding band slip into there. So, yeah.
He probably just asked them, hey, is there a way to get something out of the toilet? And they said, oh, well, we're on that. And they
get something out. No, the toilet is a one-way trip, sir.
So do you think his wedding ring is, like, jettisoned over America somewhere?
I don't know, because I don't know how they handle that, if they actually offload it like you would. Well, Dave Matthews dumps his on tour boats going over bridges, but other than that, I'm not really sure. if they like pump it out in certain places. I know I've heard of like the falling blue ice.
Right, I've heard that too, but I don't know if that's an urban legend.
Well, they couldn't do that.
Well, I don't think they're supposed to. I think that's the whole thing. They're not supposed to, but it does happen. So, yeah, I like JetBlue, and that they've never done that for me, but that's why I do like flying JetBlue, because they're good people there. This next headline caught my eye. It's from the New York Post. The hipster war on you. How liberals use cool as a weapon. Why are good things seen as bad? And why are bad things seen as good? Greg Gutfeld poses the question and supplies an answer. And not cool, the hipster elite and their war on you. Gutfeld paints a picture of a coolocracy in which the world is run by star-bellied sneeches who tell us what's hip and obediently keep running in and out of the belly star-making gizmo. Icons of cool like Robert Redford, Mark Zuckerberg, Jesse James, and Yoko Ono get shredded in the book. I would not put those people together.
How are those cool people? Yoko Ono is cool?
I don't know. Robert Redford's cool.
He's cool. He makes a good tomato sauce.
Jesse James is cool. I mean, he's kind of a dick, you know, but
which
either
Jesse James are we talking
I think we're talking about the one who's alive.
How's Mark Zuckerberg?
The one who makes motorcycles and cheated on Sandra Bullock.
How's Mark Zuckerberg cool?
I don't know.
He's not. He won't even friend me on Facebook.
Right.
which means I'm less cool than he is. Shit.
So the book is as breezy, enlightening, and funny as Gutfeld's two TV shows, The Five and Red Eye. Oh, that explains it. Those shows are terrible.
Oh, I've never seen them.
Oh, my God. They're on Fox News. Let me explain The Five for you, for anybody who hasn't seen it. The Five is a show that's on at 5 p.m. Eastern, so they're clever, and there's five of them.
Oh, it works on so many levels.
It does.
Five?
Exactly.
But does it work on the level of entertaining television?
Do you like car crashes?
No.
Well, okay. Then no, not for you, because this is the TV version of a car crash. It's essentially four people who agree on one point, and they go around, they're like, ha, 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 no, 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 ha, 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 ha. It's just this weirdest frenzy of stupidity that goes on. And then there's this one guy who's supposed to be the liberal on the thing, who's like, I don't know about that. And then they all gang up on him. They're like, what do you mean? No, I'm just saying. No, what do you mean? And Red Eye is a show I heard about. It's on Fox News overnight. It's on late at night. And I heard people tell me once, they go, oh, there's this really funny show on the Fox News channel. And I go, really? You're shitting me. And they're like, no, 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 it's really funny. It's on late at night, and there's this guy, and he's funny, and he has guests. And then I watched it. He's not funny. He really is not funny. He's kind of the dick. I'm sure some people, he's hip and young and funny for Fox News. But there you go. Anyway, the article continues. On both shows, the way he delivers truth disguised as jokes make him seem like a kind of a reverse Jon Stewart.
How's that reverse? That's exactly what Jon Stewart does.
I know.
Because he's not funny?
Oh, Jon Stewart's not funny. Well, right.
He's not funny.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
Well, I think what they're trying to say is Jon Stewart's the liberal version. He's the conservative version of Jon Stewart, not the reverse. Gutfeld finds that cool warps everything. In 2012, for instance, Zuckerberg's Facebook not only didn't pay any net federal income tax, but was actually due a refund of about $430 million. Why? Because the company lawfully deducted the stock options it issues to Facebook employees, many of them now deliriously wealthy because of those options. If Exxon or Koch Industries has managed that, someone might have noticed. We do notice. We notice that all the time.
That was all over the news when it happened.
Right. That was noticed. But we notice when ExxonMobil makes huge amounts of profits and pays no income tax. We notice when GE makes a huge profit and ends up getting a tax refund. We notice that. This is all bullshit. By the way, the New York Times, also owned by Rupert Murdoch, New York Post, sorry.
So wait, just to understand, this guy's saying Mark Zuckerberg is so cool, we don't notice when Facebook doesn't pay taxes. Okay, now I get it now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just saying.
That's right. It's going on. So, never mind that companies like Exxon and Coke supply the energy without which Facebook wouldn't work. They're not
Coke?
Cool.
It's Koch, brother. It's not Coke.
It's pronounced Coke.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Coca-Cola.
No,
I'm like, I'm
no,
so
no.
confused. What is Coke power?
No. Anyway, her whole thing is they're not cool. His thesis is hipster iconoclasm dates back to at least the 50s. James Dean, Marlon Brando, but cool remained outside the establishment until Woodstock generation began to take over. It imposed warped values, artfully cultivated rebellion, counterproductive liberal social consciousness, romantic outlaw status from murderous enemies of America, the Weather Underground. The Boston Marathon bombers? No, it didn't. On the mainstream today, flower power types run the media, the networks, the Hollywood studios, even the Justice Department. But
wait
as-
a minute.
Okay.
That was going too fast. Like, did he say something about how Woodstock fueled the Boston Marathon bombings?
No, that it, Woodstock was where the counterculture and cool became mainstream.
And somehow that led to a terrorist bombing?
Yes.
In the Boston Marathon? Because the guys...
No, romantic outlaw status for people like the marathon bombers. But as someone in their 80s and 90s, what's cool? Gutfeld figures, and they'd probably say something like, killing Nazis! Okay.
Because the greatest generation is so...
Well, killing Nazis was, I mean, that was the thing to do.
That is cool. It's still cool. Well, not killing. I don't know.
No. It had to be done back then.
Reforming them.
But...
We weren't going to change their
like
minds.
This idea that hipsters think that the Boston Marathon bombers are romantic outlaws. Like,
no,
what?
that's just some crazy chicks.
This is all crazy.
Yeah. Well, moving forward, apparently Gutfeld also writes, the Labor Department reports that only 47% of Americans have a full-time job. That's because it's hard to get full-time work as a maker of artisanal tricycles.
Oh, screw you. It's hard to get full-time work as a professionally trained writer and editor, journalist. It's hard to get full-time work for a lot of reasons, not because we all want to quit and just work on Etsy.
How much of an asshat is this guy that he has prompted Becca, of all people, to just out of nowhere yell, screw you!
Yeah, this one is making me mad. Honestly, when I heard the headline, I thought it was going to be a diatribe against Nick Capps, and I was all like,
sure,
with you on it, but no.
No, it's not about me. I'm just reading.
But I know how like sometimes you're... You don't like the hipsters to wear the seasonally inappropriate clothing. And I thought we were going to go somewhere like that. But no, this whole thing, all the connections he's drawing, all of it is just, oh, he did it. He made me rise to the little liberal bait that he's holding out and get all mad at him and his non-arguments. And oh, how did I let this destroy my inner peace? Never mind. I'm going to be like Hef and just be zen.
Yeah, my cat Hef is now laying there flat after he tried to climb through here, and he was giving me a hassle, but he was mad too. I put him over there next to me on the couch, and he was like getting all mad, but he was trying to pull on cables.
But now he's
bad.
Laying there with his little belly exposed.
Yeah, he wrote that.
What a guy.
Yeah, that's him. That's Hef.
Ted, so, how are you keeping your cool?
I just get lost. I mean, once he said Mark Zuckerberg was a cool icon, I just, this guy's full of it, and everything he said since then is just BS. So whatever. Just.
Oh, I thought you were upset because you wanted to get a job making artisanal tricycles.
Oh man, I was going for unicycles, but I guess tripled my expenses and go for tricycles.
Well, there you go. That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The Nate Darling Show. Cool.
Or
tool.
Whoa.
All right. First up in cooler tools, Sarah Michelle Gellar. Ted.
I have no real beef. She's cool as far as I can tell.
Becca.
Oh, she gave us Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She will always be cool.
Yeah, she's cool. Yeah, good for her for speaking out against the cover of Vogue.
Someone sure had to say something.
It's true. Someone did.
And many people did.
Who's with me? Mm-hmm. Up next in Cooler Tool, JetBlue. JetBlue, Becca.
Cool. I hope they give me a deal on an airline ticket to New York that I need to buy in, like, it now.
Ted?
Oh, I love JetBlue. It's my favorite airline. They keep you entertained and well-fed, and they look for your ring in the toilet. What's not to like?
Yeah, JetBlue is super cool. And if you're taking the red eye, you get this little sleeper pack. And it has a blindfold, and it's got earplugs in it so that you can sleep on the red eye. It's very nice. And finally, in Cooler Tool, coolness, Ted.
Whoa. You've blown my mind. If I say tool, it'll be just another mind blow. So I'm going to say coolness is tool for no reason.
Okay, Greg.
Greg?
I was just playing a word game, Greg Gutfeld. Anyway, back at what you said.
I'm going to be contrary and say that cool is cool.
Whoa.
Of course cool is cool.
Aww.
Cool's always cool. Don't make me get Fonzie in here.
Whoa.
That's Joey.
Whoa.
Lawrence.
He's cool in a toolish sort of way. I mean, toolish can be cool. Therefore, coolish can be tool. I don't know.
All right. That's it for Cooler Tool. That went a lot faster with only three of us.
How about that?
No. Feel better, Christiana.
Yeah.
So moving on. This made me happy inside. As you may or may not know, I am of Scottish ancestry.
Ugh.
Scottish and French. The headline that I put on the show prep is Nate's People Rule. Because this is the most awesome thing ever. All the young nudes involves art enthusiasts gathering to sketch nude models while having a pint. The organization was founded in Glasgow 5 years ago and has since grown in popularity to such an extent that lines now stretch outside its events there. The event is open to amateurs and professionals alike. It's totally something different, explains founder Joanna Susskind. We decided to open up at Dundee because lots of people in Dundee were asking for an ATYN class. Joanna believes that their success comes from its relaxed and different atmosphere. If you're not an artistic person or a creative person, this is great. This is a great place to start, because everyone who comes almost always enjoys it. And the attendees agreed. It's really a great way to get into life drawing, said Rebecca O'Neill, who attended the Dundee opening. I've been to another one in Glasgow, and this event was very similar. I feel like I've been here before. There's really nothing like it, she added. So basically, it's a nude model. It's a nude art class where there's a nude model, and you draw them, but you have a beer while you're doing it.
That's my kind of art class.
I'm kind of surprised we don't have something like that in Midtown. I guess because you can't have naked people and alcohol in the same
venue,
right?
In California, you cannot have an exposed bare vagina and alcohol in the same room.
Yeah, because we have a lot of there are a few different venues to draw nudes in Midtown, and also Midtown really loves its beer and stuff. So it seems like it would be a natural fit.
You can just have a lady with a towel draped over her waist and just exposing her bosom.
They still do life drawing. Like, there's a group down here somewhere, and I think they do, you draw people in different costumes every time, So instead of nudes, it's like all different kinds
of... Like a Viking costume?
Yeah, like all kinds of different stuff, just to practice drawing.
It's interesting because it's very popular amongst women, too.
Yeah.
It's not just a bunch of perverted dudes rolling out there to draw naked women. Yeah. It's women going to go, oh, well, I'm not very good at this, but I'm going to try it. And I think it's awesome.
Yeah, no, it's super. It's fun. That is fun. And I used it. Fun fact, I used to have a job as a nude art model. And it was always like a very respectful scene. I never felt like, oh my god, this is, people are creepy. Like, they're always so busy with their charcoal and their pads and stuff. Like, nobody goes to life drawing class to see naked people, I don't think.
Right. You're just a reference point. You're the bowl of fruit that's sitting there,
exactly.
So to speak. But I thought that was something that's really awesome, and it's popped up in Scotland and sadly not here.
There should be more classes with beer.
If I were a woman, just to be a feminist, I would do nothing but sit around bottomless with a drink. Because technically I would then be violating the law, but I'd be like, come and get me, the man. Mm-hmm. I have alcohol and a bare vagina, out to the room. Come on.
I think that might be a little unsanitary for the bar stools, but
I don't mean actually at the bar.
Oh, okay.
Like in a booth. Or it's classier.
Or at home. I would just drink bottomless.
I think you're right that alcohol and artistic endeavors go well together, because there's a new studio in Midtown. What is it called? The Painted Cork. And that's drinking wine and painting, not nudes, but painting other stuff. And I think it helps because people get really... I know I did when I've taken live drawing classes, I get so in my head about how it's coming out. And I'm like, oh God, I'm not even an art. Why am I here? Mm-hmm. And I'm just like really hard on myself. And I think a little bit of alcohol to take the edge off can help you stick with it.
I actually didn't mean just art class. I meant like any class, like lawyer school, law school. Take a pint while you're learning about whatever they learn about. Law.
Laws.
Boring laws. I don't know. Never mind.
Yeah, it's...
I just want a beer.
Oh, well, yeah. Beer goes better with everything.
There might be one in the fridge.
Oh, no, I'm not going to raid Nate's fridge.
Oh, no, there isn't, because Nate is
No, there's actually plenty of beer in the fridge.
Oh.
And you're not drinking it
anymore? On a dry run right now?
I am on a dry run right now.
All right.
I've been on the diet, although I cheated over the weekend, so.
Bad times. That's okay.
The prohibition diet.
Yeah. Well, alcohol is bad if you're trying to lose weight.
Oh.
Because your body converts alcohol to sugar, and sugar is bad for that. Anyway, we already had a toilet story in here. Toilet at 30,000 feet. But is your toilet on the ground safe?
Yes.
Not necessarily.
Sounds like something from a horror film. You're sleeping and then a strange noise wakes you up. Now, if you're anything like Daniel Powers, you're going to go out there and investigate. He found the source of his sound in his bathroom of his Northeast Portland home. And that's when he came face to face with a rat in his toilet. He figured he had some choices. Run, kill it. Or try to catch it.
What were the chances that you were going to reach in there and catch that thing?
Probably zero. I mean, I could have, but it was 2 a.m. It wasn't going anywhere except for out that way, so I just thought, I'll just leave it.
Well, he stacked a bunch of books up on that toilet seat, and then he flushed. no sign Aww. Of the rat scent. Multnomah County says it does happen. Quite a bit, actually. They get 20 to 30 calls about rats in the toilet every single year. Daniel emailed us that story idea.
So, yeah. judging by his speech affectation and his mannerisms and his pink polo shirt, he's a gay fellow. And it was hilarious because he took a picture. He literally stacked about a foot and a half of books on his toilet lid. As though the rat is going to lift the toilet lid off with that. And then he flushed the toilet.
How big a rat was it? Good gravy.
I don't know. But apparently it happens around there. Because they actually get rain there, they get washed into the storm sewers. And then they will go into different places. But also, here's the other thing I didn't realize. Rats will actually eat other rats. So some little rats will scurry away from bigger rats. And sometimes they scurry into weird places. So,
yikes.
Yeah.
I wonder what you're supposed to do if a rat shows up in your toilet, really. Is that the answer? Flush the toilet, put a stack of books on it?
I don't think that's really the answer. You called 911.
Flush your cat after the rat?
Well, remember last week, the man in Portland called 911 on his cat.
That cat was a little
There's something going on.
Crazy.
There's something going on in Portland, Oregon, and I don't know what the solution is. I really don't. Between the rats and the cats and the guy who isn't smart enough to not kick his cat, I don't know. Now, Ted, you mentioned lawyers and lawyering school and that sort of thing.
Lawyering school,
Lawyering school.
Yes.
Well, you know, public defenders are lawyers. Dateline South San Francisco, a Los Angeles County public defender was arrested on suspicion of assault and battery after authorities said she drunkenly kicked a group of police officers during a tirade at San Francisco International Airport.
That's why you don't drink during lawyer school. You get mad and kick cops.
Yeah.
It's angry lawyer.
It's bad times.
Can you imagine a world without lawyers?
Monica Marie Jenkins, 36, pleaded not guilty in San Mateo County Court a day after SFO employees prevented her from boarding her flight to Los Angeles because they said she was too drunk to fly. Too drunk to fly.
I know that was even possible.
Especially if you're not the pilot. The woman reportedly became belligerent and refused suggestions to sober up and catch a later flight. Instead, she threatened to sue arriving officers and demanded to be taken to jail. Police finally arrested her on suspicion of being drunk in public after the woman broke out into song screaming, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 o'clock rock. Somewhat fumbling the lyrics to Bill Haley in the Comets hit song Rock Around the Clock.
When asked for follow-up, she said 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock rock.
Right.
Rock around.
While they were escorting her from the gate, she kicked an officer and tried to kick another while continuously screaming profanities, according to reports. Her erratic behavior continued once in the patrol car, where she told officers, "Thank you for saving me," and kept frantically asking about her missing purse because it's worth a lot of money. And then she calmed down and told police, "I'm not worried anymore. Give me some cocaine."
What? Wow.
When that didn't go well, she went back to being angry and again threatened to fight and sue the officers. Upon arriving at jail, she tried to bite a nurse who was attending to her booking. She was released from jail after entering her plea and scheduled to return to the Bay Area for a July 14th trial.
Wow, that sounds like Florida Coroner comes early.
So yeah. This is someone who could... who got into law school?
Not only got into law school, graduated law school, and passed the bar, and is working as a public defender.
She's had a bad day. You never know what happened.
No, you never do. That's true.
Must have been a very bad day.
It just seems like it takes a lot of discipline and skills to get as far as she did.
Well, she's 34.
36.
36, so...
You would think she knows better.
Maybe 10 years plus after law school, it's all gone downhill. I don't know her story.
I don't either.
I know how frustrating it is when you want to catch a flight and you might not be able to. I mean, the too drunk to fly thing was probably more along the lines of you are causing a scene and we don't want that in an enclosed space in the air. Because we don't want to have to put it down in Fresno on the way to L.A.
That'd be the worst.
Yeah, I don't know. But bad times.
It can be really scary when you're going to miss your flight.
Yeah, but that's going to be a rough one to explain in the office. Roll into the office and go, how was your weekend?
When I was flying back from India the last time, I did it super budget. So I had all these flights kind of stacked up in a row, like four flights to get home. Mm-hmm. And the very first leg, they decided, I forget what was happening with weather or whatever, but I landed in Germany, which was not a country that I had planned to be in my whole entire time.
Wow.
And I had all these other flights lined up for like the next, 18 hours or whatever. And I basically just had to throw myself on the mercy of the German flight people, and was just basically like, I am here in the middle of, I have to get home. I don't know. And they figured it out. That was like the JetBlue equivalent of sticking their hands on the toilet. Like, they essentially gave me a free flight that would get me back to like England or wherever I was supposed to go to do all this stuff. It was amazing. I don't know what I would have done without them. I would still be in Germany, just stuck.
Yeah, the airlines are usually pretty good about getting you where you need to go eventually. Sometimes not, it's not, super convenient. Sometimes you got to wait, but usually they're pretty good about doing that. Hey, speaking of flights, and we didn't talk about this yet, but the Malaysian airliner.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, the Malaysian prime minister had a press conference late Sunday night, which would be Monday their time, basically saying that all indications are that it did, in fact, crash into the ocean, and there would be no survivors. It's been missing so long now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now the question is how it happened.
That we don't know. They think they've found some debris about 15 miles south-southwest of Perth, Australia, which is on the west coast of Australia. Hopefully we'll find out something in the next few days. The interesting thing about the whole thing is that the Malaysian prime minister came out and announced it. But before he spoke, they notified the families of all of the people on the plane via text message. They sent them a text message basically saying that in both English and in Chinese, because there were a lot of Chinese nationals because it was going to Beijing. So I don't know. And anytime I hear the prime minister of Malaysia, I just think of Zoolander, because I believe wasn't that who he was programming Zoolander to kill?
It might have been. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway. So that's not unexpected end to this, but there was just so much rampant speculation of it was a hijacking. It was this. No, something went wrong and the plane crashed into the ocean.
Aliens.
But very far from where it was supposed to go. So it's still a mystery.
Yeah. It suddenly made a weird left turn and no one really knows kind of why.
Didn't it go up like to 45,000 feet at one point, which is way higher than an airplane usually goes? Or is that just something I made up?
Yeah, I've
heard so much, I don't really know what the facts are anymore. Hmm. I just keep thinking of Lost.
Your cat looks so cute.
He does.
He's so relaxed. Like, Cristiano's not here. I can lay in the spot.
He's got like his belly exposed and his little arms above his head.
His fangs are pointing out.
Yeah, he's just like super happy.
I want to take pictures of him.
Yeah, I want to be this happy one day. As happy as my cat laying on his back.
Aww.
So I can rub his belly.
Aww.
Up in Washington State, speaking of things that are going on that are kind of unfortunate, there was a big mudslide. As of right now, as we record this on Monday night, 14 people confirmed dead and over 100 people still missing.
Wow. In
the mudslide. So just craziness going on in the world, because everybody's like, well, we are not paying attention to this. Well, I hadn't heard much about the mudslide either. And that's, you know, over 100 people missing. That's a lot.
That's a lot of people
to
yeah.
just be like, it's not like two carloads. I mean, there's a lot of people that had that. So, you know, hopefully they'll find a lot more people alive and the death toll won't go too nutty. But our thoughts are with them. So that being said, let's lighten the mood a little bit. Let's take a trip to the other corner of the country. Find out what's going on down in Florida with our friends down there.
Oh. Only good things, I bet.
Transition.
Yeah, I know.
Change of my mood, y'all.
You know, leaving personal identification at a crime scene and posting pictures online with some of the loot landed a burglary suspect behind bars.
Why are people so dumb? Never mind.
At least two men were seen on surveillance video breaking into Arion Motors.
Arion Motors?
A-R-I-O-N.
Okay.
Just before 11 p.m. on March 10th, they stole files, license plates, 44 car keys, and four cars, a BMW, Cadillac, Infiniti, and Dodge, worth an estimated $43,984. My guess is they were used, because a BMW is worth that much by itself if it's new. One of the suspects pulled a cell phone from his pocket to use as a flashlight inside the dealership. He was unaware that his identification card had also popped out.
Oh.
Yep.
Why do you even bring ID when you're going to rob someplace?
Yeah, you always have it with you. Never know. You might get pulled over. He was oblivious to it, said the cops. He didn't even realize it fell out. Dealership owner Adnan Eddie Radonkic found it the day after the burglary. The investigator was taking fingerprints, but I said, I don't think you need to do that. She said, why not? I said, because the bad guy left his ID card here in plain sight. Travis Devontae Rice, 21, had gotten his Florida ID card just 3 weeks before the break-in. His probation officer had suggested he obtain identification. When Reddick went to verify Rice's identity, the probation officer immediately recognized Rice as the client who had been released from prison on Valentine's Day and was currently on probation for an armed robbery. Losing his ID card at the crime scene was compounded by his posting pictures on Facebook the night of the burglary.
Why?
In one image, he's crouched down, making hand gestures while car keys dangle from his mouth. In another picture, he's grabbing his crotch while holding a pair of keys in the air. He's wearing the same clothes worn by one of the suspects seen in the surveillance video. The dealership owner said he's been watching the video repeatedly since the burglary because he finds the suspect's behavior funny. They went back out through the broken window when the door is right next to it, and it was unlocked. It didn't make no sense. So, anyway, that's one thing.
My.
But it gets better. In Jacksonville, Action News viewers say a car engulfed in flames at a Southside McDonald's was set on fire intentionally. The fire spotted outside the McDonald's on Beach Boulevard just after 12:30 Sunday morning. They were going at it, apparently a couple. She was saying she wanted this and wanted that, and she wanted either a McFlurry or an ice cream on top, and he was not in for it. Then he was yelling at her and saying he's not going to do it. That's when it escalated. The next thing you know, she says, I'm going to blow it up. And we were wondering, what are you going to blow up? Well, then apparently the woman grabbed the man's keys and ran outside. She got something out of the car that happened to be a bottle, and then she got gasoline from who knows where, and then she poured it all over everything. And the next thing you know, there's a match, and it was up in flames.
Because of the McFlurry, she lit the car on fire?
Yep.
Okay.
Wouldn't get it for her.
Well, it makes sense. Sometimes you need a McFlurry.
Pay attention, Ted. When a lady wants a McFlurry, you don't argue.
Fortunately, my girlfriend never wants McFlurries.
That's true. I'm vegan.
May a McSoy.
McSoy. Is that even a thing?
McSoy. So, yeah. So, lots of stuff going on in Florida. People taking selfies with their car keys dangling from their mouth.
Who takes 44 car keys in four cars? These guys, obviously.
These guys.
All right. Look at all the keys I got.
These nuts.
These are going to be worth so much on eBay. That's not even a thing. All right.
We have a follow-up. This story goes back a while, too. It might actually predate you guys on the show.
Ooh, wow.
As long as the kids are away, teachers can play. That's according to a panel of judges ruling that educators shouldn't be fired for having sex with one another, even in their classroom. Manhattan appellate judges said the foreign language teachers, Alini Brito and Cindy Morrow, were treated too harshly when they were dismissed for engaging in a topless classroom tryst inside Brooklyn's James Madison High in 2009. Quote, the penalty of termination is shockingly disproportionate, added the ruling, which noted that, quote, engagement in what appeared to be consensual sexual conduct with an adult colleague is not in and of itself criminal or otherwise improper. It was in the classroom! At least the school romp didn't involve minors, the appellate division judges added. Oh, well, okay.
At least, yeah. Wait,
was there a risk of the kids coming by? What time of the day was it?
Unclear. I don't recall. This was a while ago.
Okay.
Indeed, lesser penalties have been imposed where a teacher had an ongoing relationship or engaged in inappropriate behavior with a student, according to the decision. The ruling stunned fellow teachers who feared the judges have given the green light to all sorts of kinky classroom sleaze. That's what's going to happen. It sets a poor example for other teachers. They may think they can do it, too, fumed one James Madison teacher who asked not to be named because they were cranky. The ruling also shocked students at the school, which became known as Horn Dog High after news spread of Brito and Morrow's canoodling. A student could have walked in on them, according to 10th grader Tiffany Kagan. Things like that shouldn't be done in the classroom. Couldn't they have waited until they got home? The judges, however, noted that no kids actually saw the two hooking up. In deciding to go easy on the teachers, the judge gave them credit because their grope fest happened while they were at the school after hours to attend a musical competition on November 20th, 2009.
But there's still kids around. Okay, bad form, guys.
Oh, they weren't required to be there for that, but they were there anyway. So,
okay.
Apparently, the student musical was kind of a snooze. The duo snuck away from the festivities to a third-floor classroom where the partially undressed romance language teachers were caught making out by school safety agents. They were soon fired, but in 2012, a lower court judge ruled the women were due a second administrative hearing. So, yeah, they're getting their jobs back.
I don't know. I'm really surprised, frankly. So it was, I don't know. I feel like if you worked at the Dairy Queen and you got caught by one of your coworkers having sex at the Dairy Queen, you would get fired. Like, right. I don't think it's really appropriate to have sex in the workplace. They were at a place where kids and parents were on campus at that time. And like all the students know about it and you're setting an example for youth. And I don't know, I'm really surprised. I mean, I'm not generally for like puritanical firing of people, but this seems not unwarranted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that it sort of came back to that. I love that. And this is where conservatives will go, liberal judges and blah, 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 blah. This is something that they rightfully can kind of yell about because go, well, you know, no kids did walk in on them, so it's okay.
But they could have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's just, I don't approve.
No, no. Nay, I say, but that's the follow up. So.
Ted, you're quiet.
What am I supposed to say?
Oh, I just wondered if you agreed or disagreed.
Oh.
With us.
I agree that it is inappropriate to canoodle in the classroom, even during French class.
I'm curious if the... I'm really curious if it had been a man and a woman. Because this was apparently just topless groping and touching.
Or a man and a man.
Or a man and a man. If there were two dudes having butt sex there, what would the reaction
have been? A white homo and another white homo.
I know, it's crazy.
Are you implying that the judges were lenient because they were like,
this sounds
girl
pretty hot.
Girl.
Well, yeah, I think it's less. It's the least threatening form of sex, really, Becca, because the penis is a weapon, as you should know by now. It's known as the love gun for a reason.
And the vagina is a holster.
That's right.
A peacekeeping holster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's true. You know.
Oh, this is all ridiculous.
Hey, we have some good news for you.
Yay.
There's been an arrest. Yeah, there was someone, a convicted sex offender was arrested for a Walmart toe-sucking incident.
Yeah.
This happened very quickly, too. It was in North Carolina. They announced him for allegedly sucking the toes of a female Walmart shopper as she tried on shoes inside a North Carolina store.
Who does that?
Michael Anthony Brown.
Oh.
He was collared and charged with assault in connection with the unsettling incident last Monday at a Walmart in about 40 miles northwest of Charlotte. After investigators publicized the toe licking and released photos from a Walmart surveillance camera, a police officer from another North Carolina city recognized Brown, who cops reported is, quote, a registered sex offender that has been charged with similar crimes in the past. Booked into jail on a felony count, he's being held in lieu of $50,000 secure bond. According to court records, he was placed on the state's sex offender registry in mid-2004, following his release from prison. He served time for attempted rape or attempted sex offense conviction. It's not really clear. Police allege that Brown approached the 35-year-old victim inside Walmart and struck up a conversation with her about shoes, claiming to be a podiatry student.
Oh, God.
He somehow talked the victim into trying on several pairs of footwear in the shoe department. The woman told cops that she, quote, believed the suspect may have been a Walmart employee. While helping the woman try on shoes, he allegedly took her foot, placed it in his mouth, and began to suck on the victim's toes.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
When she became upset, he allegedly offered to pay for her groceries, according to police. Okay, here's your first tip-off. You're in Walmart, and you see someone who you think is an employee, and they're offering to help you.
Right?
Lady, there's a problem there. You obviously don't realize. Have you not? It's your first trip to Walmart? When was the last time someone there offered to help you out of nowhere?
Even in shoe stores, I feel like you don't get that much service anymore.
Yeah, you got to go to like Fleet. If you walk into Fleet Feet, they're there to help you. Places like that are like super customer servicey. But if you walk into like, say, the shoe department or someplace like that, fuck it.
Yeah,
you can wander around there, you know, like the Jews wandering the deserts with Moses.
They may or may not get you something out of the back.
I've been hurt.
Yeah. And if they do, they'll try and sell you socks. Lots and lots of socks. Because that's what they do.
I thought all Walmart employees wear little vests or something to designate themselves or name tags or something.
Yeah, normally they do. I don't know why she would think that.
He has been a smooth talker.
Yes. I'm a podiatry student. let me see your feet. Let me suck those toes, baby.
I'm really glad they explained it, because the whole time you were reading the first part of the article, I was like, how do you just like force someone's toes into your mouth? Like, it seems like such a hard thing to do, but then when they explained his technique, I get it now.
I see vision like swooping in and licking her foot all of a sudden, but maybe, I don't know.
He was a smooth criminal.
You know, if that guy, I mean, I feel like one ad on Craigslist and he could have found someone who wanted to participate in this situation with him.
Yeah, but it just would have been a dude pretending to be a woman.
Oh, I hate when that happens. I'm
pretty sure that's how it would go.
Or a woman who wanted some money.
Or maybe it's better when they don't want you to suck your... Maybe he likes the thrill of the game.
Kind of forcing
His tongue on someone's foot.
The idea that she protests at the beginning, but then likes it.
Ugh. Yuck.
Yeah.
I'm so gross.
Yeah. No, I say no to feet in your mouth. Putting your foot in... A foot in the mouth should be a figure of speech. And that's it.
I'm trying on all those Walmart shoes.
Oh, yeah. And walking around Walmart. Ew.
Gross. That's where all the dirty people are.
Clean feet in your mouth is okay, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
If that's what you're into...
In the bedroom.
Yeah, if that's what you're into, go to town. But...
Little foot action.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. No desire on this part.
The Nate Darling Show.
Welcome to our little town.
Small town news.
Hey, that was loud. All right, it's that time of the show. Let me get to the small town news. It's going to be Ted's favorite. It's a surprise, Ted. It's not what I put in the show prep. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't. Okay.
It's March 2nd. Not really winter. Not officially spring. The calendar marks spring as March 20th. As I wrote this last Monday, it was one of those days when you pays your money and takes your choice. Mostly clear skies over our beautiful Saranac River by 5 a.m. Temps in the 20s, frozen puddles, snow flurries, and mixed sunshine. It's not mud season, but that will happen. Have I read this before?
It sounds familiar.
They all sound the same. They're just droning on and on and on.
Yeah. You know, never. I'm going to close this.
Oh.
I'm going to close this.
We're gonna, Christmas came early this year.
We're going to audible. We're going to go to Grand Forks, North Dakota. I have a backup. Headline, around town, curiosity in store, new shop offers unusual gifts in Grand Forks.
Ooh. Wait, is that the gift, Grand Forks? Never mind.
The owner of a shop planned for South Grand Forks wants customers to imagine that stepping through her door will be like walking into a piece of New York.
Wink.
Quote, when you walk in, you'll feel like you're in a loft in Soho, referring to the artsy, gallery-filled neighborhood of Manhattan. A place where, quote, you could walk around and always find something unique, fun, and different. The woman who owns it, who's originally from Argyle, Minnesota, lived in New York for 8 years before moving to Grand Forks 3 years ago. She wants her business, Curious, to reflect the years she lived in the city by offering distinctive and unusual gifts, artwork, decor, accessories, and furniture. You know what she means? Tables and clocks and all kinds of different access items for your home, was her description. The store will be carefully curated with items that tell a story and start conversations. The woman is renovating space formerly occupied by Ferguson Books on 3750 32nd Avenue.
Ferguson Books.
Amazon.com put them out of business.
Could have been.
I don't know.
You can check out her website before it opens. It's CuriousExperience.com.
They didn't describe a single item that she sells. That might have helped.
Clocks.
Oh, excuse me. Clocks. That's true. And tables.
Hey, here's some more news from Grand Forks. A bus stop's been added to the future site of the Gateway Drive Walmart store, which is expected to open in early April. That's,
ooh.
Mm-hmm. New bus stop.
So you can take the bus and watch the progress as it's being built.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Walmart hasn't actually announced a specific opening date yet, so, but you can take the bus there.
Stay tuned.
And a new column feature, you can spot something new in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks that catches your attention. A building project, a renovated storefront that makes you wonder what's happening there. Well, they want to answer your questions in the Grand Forks Herald. That's right. It's a new column called In Progress. Yeah.
Can we write to them?
Well, if you spot something around Grand Forks that you're curious about, sure.
Oh, man.
Feel free to write to them. Because in Grand Forks, well, they're building things.
Yeah, we're making fun of them, but they have a better reported newspaper and I think possibly a better laid out mass transit system than Carmichael.
Well, I'm not really making fun of them. I'm just sort of saying that that's small town news.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, murder, rape.
It's refreshing. I like it.
Foot assault.
Yeah. Sucking toes. There's no one sucking toes in Grand Forks. This is what we know. Well,
that's because the Walmart's not open yet.
It's true. Once the Walmart opens, all bets are off.
They're hiring greeters and toe suckers right now.
Yeah. Anything could possibly happen. We haven't said this yet, so let me say this. Thank you. If you're shopping Amazon.com through NateDarlingShow.com, we do appreciate it because you're supporting the show and you're saving big money while you get things to make your life better. We appreciate it. If you haven't done it yet, it's so simple. Go to the website. You're probably there now listening to this. It's NateDarlingShow.com. Right up at the top, there's a tab that says Shop Amazon. You click that, and then you just shop away. It costs you nothing extra. It helps support the show. And it's fun to do.
You can buy the new Veronica Mars movie, mm-hmm. which Christiana would want us to pimp, I think.
Yes, it was fun. It was a good movie. Nice follow-up to the show itself.
And you can buy the soundtrack to Muppets Most Wanted, which is hilarious.
And you can buy cat litter and not have to schlep it all the way from the store to your car, to your car, to your house.
Yeah, the latest thing I bought, so along those same lines, I bought razor blades, like the replacement razor blades. The Schick razor blades that I use, they were way cheaper than Walmart, and they were delivered right to me. I didn't have to deal with going in there and finding somebody, and do they have them, and how much, none of that.
Having your toes sucked?
Yeah. No one touched my toes while I ordered those. It's good news. So please and thank you. Go ahead and do that. That's going to do it for the Wednesday episode of the Nate Darling Show. Thank you for tuning in. Ted, did you have something else?
I was saying do it. Subliminally, yeah. Do it.
Oh.
Do it. Okay, I'm done.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Another new show coming up on Friday. Feel better, Christiana. We'll see you later.